views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. To the hit show Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com. During this hit show, David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. He invites you to engage him in discussing how these living messages and living revelations are relevant to your personal spiritual quests. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. Join our sacred circle of oneness and call 1-800-930-2819 to share. Now here is your host, David Christopher Lewis.
Hey, welcome everyone. I am David and you're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. For the next hour, I desire to help you experience something new and exciting. During this time, I hope that you will feel a new inner quickening and clarity, a new heart-centeredness and an openness as together we explore some leading-edge spiritual subjects with a wonderful guest. In fact, every Wednesday on Heart Center Talk Radio for about the next almost half a year, we will have a gifted mystic, artist, teacher, or author, or maybe all of the above wrapped into one unique individual who will share his or her wisdom with us to help us form maybe a deeply meaningful new viewpoint on spirituality and world events. So my question for you today, have you had a spiritual awakening? Do you expect to? Do you believe that these awakenings are just reserved for some special people or those who have taken the time and dedicated themselves to put in years of intense practice and prayer, meditation, fasting, or getting away from society? Can it happen to you? Can you help make it happen? Today, I'm very privileged to have Rick Archer on our program to discuss his experiences interviewing hundreds of, quote, ordinary, end quote, people about their spiritual quickenings and awakenings. Rick has personally interviewed and archived over 230 enlightening discussions with people that he calls ordinary, and he's coined this term Buddha at the gas pump, and his online filling station for these inspiring stories is there available for all of you to check out, and hopefully you will receive some empowering yourself and be motivated to pursue your own path of awakening, quickening, and maybe even enlightenment. So sometimes tragic, surprising, and unexplainable things happen to people. Each experience of enlightenment and awakening is unique. Rick himself is a longtime spiritual practitioner of meditation, and today I'm really privileged to have him to share how he is contributing in our world to this grand awakening that many people are coming into and experiencing. So thank you, Rick, for being with us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So, all right. So what is Buddha at the gas pump?
Well, actually, I didn't coin the term. It was coined by a young friend of mine, very creative young fellow. I was trying to think of some name for this spiritual interview show I wanted to do. And I was coming up with sort of cliche names like awakenings or something. And he spewed out about a dozen names and everybody, all my friends spotted that one and said, that's it. Use that. But the implication of the name is that, you know, you might be pumping gas or checking out at the supermarket line and you might be standing next to a quote unquote Buddha, you know, someone who has had a spiritual awakening. They're becoming rather common in this day and age. And it's, you know, spiritual awakenings are not the rare and unusual thing that traditionally they might have been thought to be.
Absolutely. I've experienced that too. And you never know when someone is really either a saint, a mystic, has had an incredible life that, you know, you start talking to them and you find these amazing things that they've experienced and wisdom that they have even for you. So what have you seen or found as some of the common threads for this experience, and how do you pick the people that you interview?
Common threads. Well, it does seem that there is some sort of spiritual epidemic taking place on the planet, which I believe is very timely, just in the nick of time, because there's some very serious problems confronting us. And I think that ultimately the solution to these problems is a spiritual one. You know, there's a very sort of materialistic mindset behind the problems of global warming and, you know, climate change, genetic engineering, all kinds of things that pollution, all sorts of things that beset our world, even like drug-resistant antibiotics, and all sorts of things. There's this sort of mechanistic mindset that gives rise to such technologies and makes people feel that they're entitled to sort of squander the Earth's resources and treat it like a mere object rather than the sort of living, alive, present being that it is. And so I think that ultimately, although we need, you know, solar panels and all the rest, ultimately the solution to this crisis that we face, potentially life-threatening for the entire humanity, is a spiritual awakening. And I believe it is happening. And we could examine why it's happening. I don't know if we'd come up with definite answers, but I'd say the common thread is that, you know, whether a person has endeavored to pursue spirituality with, you know, consciously and intentionally, and they've dedicated years of their lives to practice, or whether they're just like, I get emails all the time from people who are just minding their own business. You know, one woman just recently, she down in Australia, she walked into her daughter's bedroom and all of a sudden she had this profound awakening and went deep into meditation. And when she opened her eyes, Ananda Moyama was sitting there and began giving her initiations and instructions. And she had never been interested in that sort of thing. And I get a lot of stories like that from people. So there's something in the air, or maybe the water, and people are waking up. And what was the second part of your question?
And how do you pick the people that you interview? Do you just kind of
how do I pick the people?
You hear through friends, through your own connections, and then you hear a story, and then, oh, this intrigues me, and then you go for it. Is that kind of how it happens?
A little bit of both. You know, when I first started, I started here in my hometown in Iowa, and I was just sort of getting friends who seemed to have undergone some significant shift and doing interviews with them. And then it began expanding out, got it on the internet, people began watching. And so people started getting in touch with me, and either to be interviewed themselves or to recommend others. And a list began to grow. And currently the list is well over 1,000 people, and I'm sure it could be a lot larger, but those are the ones that people have gotten in touch about. And we kind of keep an actual tally in terms of how many times people are voted for. And so we take that into account to some extent, but there are all kinds of interesting people that that wouldn't get any votes because no one knows about them, like this woman I just referred to in Australia. So I like to find those people too, or they find me and interview them occasionally, because, you know, as you said in the beginning, the theme of the show is interviews with ordinary spiritually awakened people. And sometimes we think of people, the famous people like Eckhart Tolle or Adyashanti or something, as not being ordinary, but they are if you get to know them. You know, Eckhart Tolle likes to walk his dogs. Adyashanti likes to put up a big Christmas tree at Christmas. They're ordinary people living ordinary lives. They just have a more of a public profile. But then there are people who are not going to be spiritual teachers. It's not their dharma, not their interest. And they can be every bit as fascinating as the so-called famous ones. So, and they're harder to find, but they do get in touch, you know, when you have a show like this. And so I like to kind of mix it up. And I also like to throw in some people who don't regard themselves as spiritual teachers, but are very interesting people intellectually, you know, scientists and evolutionary biologists and so on, who have their fingers on the pulse of the planet in some particular way regarding its enlightenment, its evolution.
Yeah. Well, I think you've really nailed it, because as I've perceived it, people are awakening who, like you said, may not even expect anything. Something kind of clobbers them, hits them on the head. And do you find that people are pushed kind of by this mystical awakening or experience into a new type of life, Do you find that, or does it just kind of supplement what they're already doing?
Probably different in different cases, although probably more in terms of a new kind of life. I mean, even though their external life might not seem to have changed too much, they still need to take care of their kids. They still need to make a living. Very often there's such a profound transformation that from their perspective, their life is unrecognizable in comparison to what it had been. And that inner perspective is for them the most significant thing.
Yeah. Last week I was interviewing Francis Lucille, who was in France, and he, lives here in the United States, and he was, sharing a lot from his own experience. And I asked the question, well, once you're enlightened or once you're awakened, then what? So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second segment here. We're coming up on a little intermission. What do you feel is the reason why this is all happening? You kind of mentioned that in the beginning, but do you think that the age of Aquarius is here? Do you think that we're at the cusp of an age and it's like everything is being wrapped up, and that's part of why things are so accelerated?
I certainly can't answer authoritatively or with any deep mystical insight, but like you, I've read all sorts of things predicting that, and even ancient traditions predict it, and so it certainly seems that way to me. Something is happening, and you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? As Dylan said.
All right. Well, we're at the first break here, so you're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis and my guest, Rick Archer. We're going to take a little break here and be back in a few minutes.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
Experience this summer solstice under the Montana Big Sky with campfires and hikes and the Heart Center's Conference for Soul Devotion with the Divine Mothers East and West. Come in person for a rare initiation by a divine being from Sirius. The 4 Hindu goddesses and Kuan Yin, Venus, Mother Mary, and other divine feminine beings will bring blessings, miracles, clearances, and soul comfort. June 18th through the 22nd in Livingston, Montana, or online. Registration details at davidclewisconference.org.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Tune in to Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, the hottest psychic with the warmest heart, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. With passion and a sense of humor, he delivers spiritual and motivational messages for both individuals and groups of people and is internationally known for his amazing psychic abilities. Don't forget to call in at 800-930-2819 for live on-air readings and visit Artie at ArtieHoffman.com.
The Read of a Lifetime, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis, overflows with new vital revelations to enlighten your mind and transform your world. Learn to supercharge your aura with rainbow-colored radiance and magnetize your heart's highest desires. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura, it will change how you see yourself. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis. Order it today at davidclewisbook.org.
Hey, we're back on Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Christopher Lewis. My guest today is Rick Archer, creator of Buddha at the Gas Pump. And we're talking about interviewing ordinary people who have kind of gone through this spiritual awakening and quickening. And I'd like to make sure everyone knows how to connect with Rick's interviews. So, Rick, could you tell us how people can find you and maybe listen to some of your archived interviews?
Sure. Well, if you did a Google search for Buddha at the Gas Pump, it'll come right up to the top. That's pretty unusual. But also the actual URL is batgap.com, B-A-T-G-A-P. And if you go to the site there and you start scrolling down, you see a long alphabetical index of everyone I've interviewed. And then there's a menu called Past Interviews. And there you'll see a chronological list, topical lists. You know, we tried to group them into sort of logical categories and a bunch of other stuff if you poke around, but that's the place. There's also an audio podcast for people who don't want to sit in front of their computers for 2 hours watching an interview. You can subscribe on iTunes and you'll see a link to that on the site.
Excellent. All right. It's nice to have this new technology of today to get some of the ancient and modern spiritual teachings and the wisdom of even common people that are awakening out to the public today. So I mentioned
pertains to one of your earlier questions about the awakening of the planet. Would that even be possible without this technology? In the past, you know, spiritual teachers would walk around a small geographic region, and then over hundreds of years, their teachings would spread around the world and probably get severely distorted in the process. But, you know, these days it's instantaneous. And, you know, I think the technology we have available to us is critical to a global awakening if that is happening.
Yeah, the internet has really expanded everything. Instant communication, instant text messaging, etc. And, you know, news around the world just travels like the speed of thought rather than just the speed of light, you know, the speed of mindfulness. So how do you feel that you maintain an awakened state, or have you talked to some of your guests about how they maintain this quickened and enlightened state of beingness after their mystical experience or whatever kind of either shocked them into this new reality or what transpired that kind of was really amazing for them?
Well, to me, the term awakening is sort of like the term education. You know, you ask somebody, are you educated? And whether they are in the third grade or they have graduated from high school or college or graduate school, they can always say yes, because they are educated up to a point, but there's always more education they could undergo. So I don't see awakening myself as some kind of terminus, you know, some kind of static final superlative realization that can't actually be deepened further or clarified further. Most of the people, if not 99% of the people I've interviewed, I think would concur with that. Their own realization is continuing to grow and deepen and clarify. So in my own case, you know, I started meditating when I was a teenager and have stuck with it ever since. It's been 46 years now. And there's always been a kind of a steady incremental integration. And it's not, you don't have to try to maintain whatever degree of realization or awakening you have any more than you have to sort of consciously work on breathing or being conscious throughout the day. It just is your natural style of functioning. And no attempt to remember it is going to enhance it. No forgetting of it is going to detract from it. It's just there or it isn't, to whatever degree. That's my experience.
I totally agree with you. I think that when you reach that state of beingness, it is natural. It's the most natural thing. And we kind of were thrust out of our natural state by the way that society operates, kind of in the matrix, where we're bombarded by all the stimuli and we don't live in nature as a whole, because nature really teaches us her wisdom when we listen, when we're present, when we're living in the moment, and we just have to be open to that and experience it. So often those who are awakened are called to be teachers or sharers or writers. And in your case, interviewing all these wonderful people. Mm-hmm. How can we leverage the energy of that awakened state to help others to get to this point where they too, maybe the person listening on this radio program or who will hear the rebroadcast of it, who doesn't feel that they're quite at that level yet, how can we leverage what we've experienced? Because I've had my own mystical experiences, and I consider that I'm awakened, although I agree with you that it's a process. It's not a terminus, as you said. It's ongoing, and it's gradually increasing awareness. How can we help others at this stage?
Well, I think we each have our dharma, you know, that phrase. We each have our particular calling or our particular gifts, and it doesn't have to be overtly spiritual. You know, we don't have to hang up a shingle and start being a spiritual teacher. In fact, I think many people do that prematurely and can end up spreading confusion. So, you know, a person's primary responsibility might be raising children, or they have a business and they need to run their business and they're doing what they should be doing.
They just do it more consciously with love, with complete honor of every person. And do you think their example is really the teacher, even more than their words?
I think that's probably always a good idea to, you know, to observe their, see if they're walking their talk, you know,
yeah.
And that might be totally unknown to the world. I mean, we've all heard of the ideas of yogis sitting in caves, having this profound influence on the world. But it could also be someone raising children, having a profound influence on the world by their mere presence. And who knows what ripple effect they are having. I would say that whatever condition we see society in, however much peacefulness or violence or other things that bubble up to the surface of the world, is the reflection of the sort of the aggregate or collective influence of the millions of people who comprise society. So if we as a unit of society are more awake within ourselves, perhaps profoundly so, then we are going to be having an influence on the whole world without just sort of in a subtle but powerful way, without necessarily having to assume the role of a spiritual teacher or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I read Eckhart Tolle's second book, A New Earth, before he went public with Oprah. And we actually had a class where we studied that book for 12 weeks, and it was absolutely wonderful. And we felt, all of us, I think, the quickening just by focusing on, you know, the eternal now, being present, being mindful, living in this enlightened, kind of this quickened, enlightened state. And then that, you know, that program happened where millions of people across the world were tuning in, and I think there was a shift. And do you think that we're reaching the critical mass where it's going to pervade society, civilization, to the point where we actually can move into a golden crystal age?
Could very well happen. You know, in physics, there's something called a phase transition, and there are a number of examples of it. But one is simply boiling water. You heat water up. And if we're speaking in Fahrenheit, you get up to, let's say, 211 degrees. And it doesn't seem like a heck of a lot is happening. But as soon as you reach 212 degrees, the water undergoes what physicists call a phase transition, and it turns into steam. It begins to boil. So it could very well be that in terms of the world, the collective consciousness of the world, we could be getting closer and closer to such a phase transition, and it all seems sort of dark and gloomy and hopeless in some respects, you know, with some of the stuff that's going on. But there could be a rather radical and sudden transformation in the world, which, you know, only the most sort of insightful people expected to happen. And, you know, people have been talking about this for decades now, the age of Aquarius, and it's been going on for a long time. And I think some people get discouraged and think, well, maybe it's not going to happen after all. It seems to be, or maybe not in my lifetime. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Yeah. Have you ever interviewed any very young people? I mean, I've seen amazing youth who are bringing forth inventions or artistry or music, or they have, you know, these young kids with phenomenal voices who are obviously reincarnated with these talents that they developed in past lives. Have you interviewed anyone, let's say, younger than 20, and how did that go?
Not yet. Nobody quite that young yet, although I'm open to it, and I have a couple people in mind. There's a guy named Chris Grosso, whom I'll probably be interviewing before too long, who wrote a book called The Indie Spiritualist. And one of his pitches when he wrote to me, he said, "Hey, you don't have enough young people on there," and I'm pretty young. But I agree. There's a remarkable crop of young people coming up today, and that also gives me optimism for, you know, what may come of to the world.
I know. Both you and I started our spiritual path in our teens. Mm-hmm. And I think that we were idealistic, and we, through realism, we've also maintained a certain spiritual standard that has allowed us to do our work and transition, you know, into maybe a more comprehensive and profound aspect of what we came to the earth to do. So mm-hmm. We're at our second break here. I'm David Christopher Lewis. You're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio, and I'll be back with Rick Archer in about 3 minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit jenroyster.com for more information.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive, medium, and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's deerdefence@gmail.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm David Christopher Lewis. I have Rick Archer on our program today. He's the interviewer on Buddha at the Gas Pump. And I'd like to just go ahead and ask Rick himself how he awakened. What happened to you, Rick, that kind of spurred you beyond where you were on your spiritual journey into something new?
Well, I was nowhere on my spiritual journey to start with. You know, I was a messed up teenager in the 60s, you know, doing drugs, having dropped out of high school and all. And but I did have I was driving down the Post Road through Westport, Connecticut one day with some friends who were talking about doing LSD. And some of them in the back seat were reading Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert's translation of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And they were talking about enlightenment. I thought, enlightenment? Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what I need to get. And, you know, so, you know, long story short, after a year of experimentation with drugs, I realized that was going to destroy me. And I decided to learn to meditate. So I did learn transcendental meditation and did that for many, many years. Taught it for 25 years. And, you know, there have been transformations after transformations after transformations over the years. It's an ongoing process, as I said earlier. I don't consider myself, I'm hesitant. I don't consider myself an awakened person or anything. I just don't like to apply labels, or I feel that that's too much of a static connotation. There are much, and if I want to use labels like that, then I think that there are many people who are far more awakened than I am. But it's been a very gratifying journey, and I'm so glad that I did become aware of spirituality and got enthusiastic about it. Probably if we look back to past lives or something, I had a predilection for that sort of thing, and I just kind of remembered it when I was 18, you know, and then realized that, oh yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, and pursued it. And I'll continue to pursue it till my dying day, I'd say.
All right. Well, I think a lot of people in our generation, I'm 58, you're 64, almost 65, and, you know, we've been through a lot. We've seen the cultural changes. We see where the world is now. It's like many of us were very idealistic during Vietnam War. We kind of rebelled against what the status quo. We desired something new, and we desired peace. And do you think that the divine, God, if you want to call it that, sends people to all cultures around the world to kind of stimulate or stir people to this new awakened state? And if so, how do you think it's all going to play out in the next
generation? That's a beautiful question. Yeah, I love that question. I do think that there's definitely a lot of divine guidance going on. I have friends who perceive it directly in the form of, you know, angels and so on, interacting with people all the time, unbeknownst to them. And, you know, I very much feel that that the whole universe, as a friend of mine often says, the world is in God, and God, everything is in God, and God is in everything. And that there's a sort of it might not seem it when you look at things like the Holocaust or other horrible things that are happening even now, but there is a sort of a divine orchestration of everything, I believe. And if you zoom out far enough, you can reconcile the bad stuff with the good and realize that cycles are natural, and that if you're going to have good, you have to have bad. If you're going to have hot, you have to have cold, and so on. So it's natural for there to be all these paradoxes and conflicts and diversities, but it's also natural for there to be ups and downs. And I think we're definitely on the upswing, that we've reached a sort of nadir on this planet beyond which we couldn't survive. And I think we're now rebounding, and that there definitely is an awakening underway, which will be transformative to everyone. And I also feel that, you know, one's willingness to participate in this will determine how smooth the ride is. And if one is sort of stubbornly resistant to the changes that are beginning to happen and will happen with greater and greater rapidity, then it will be a difficult ride for such people. And those who are kind of cooperative and engaged in it consciously all the more will find upliftment and inspiration and even an acceleration of their personal growth as things begin to shake and rattle and roll all around us.
Yeah. You know, I found that non-duality seems to be a common thread through what many people are awakening to now, where, like you mentioned, you know, there's not so much of a disparity between good and evil. It's like we have to have the light and the darkness to experience in order to complete ourselves. And we love our darkness, even though we don't dwell there, we don't stay in that state. We realize that we have an unconscious, a subconscious, and it's not always easy to master our lower nature. And by fighting against stuff, we don't necessarily win when we can accept the fact that we are both a divine being and we have this human body form. So have you found this theme, this common theme of non-duality and the awakening experience of many of your guests? And if so, how would you classify that or qualify it?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the word non-duality sort of defines a whole group of people these days, a whole kind of a subculture. There's a conference that I go to every year called the Science and Non-Duality Conference out in California. And Francis Lucille, whom you mentioned, and many other teachers would characterize themselves, I suppose, as teachers of non-duality. But as you say, if it's really non-duality, then it doesn't exclude the relative, and it doesn't absolve us for of responsibility for our personal dualistic lives, and also for things we might label as dualistic, such as environmental concerns. You know, and there are people who try to do that, who try to exclude the relative and just kind of take refuge in the absolute, who say, for instance, that, you know, environmental concerns are illusory and we shouldn't bother with them. We should just sort of dwell on what is real and ultimate. But personally, I think if I were to ask to define enlightenment, I would define it as containing the whole package and having the capability of operating at any level of creation where our attention is needed, where we need to operate. And real non-duality, I mean, if we're excluding a whole, you know, major chunk of reality, all the relative levels of creation, and taking refuge in some absolute state, then it's not non-duality. It's because there's a major duality set up between the absolute and the relative. Real non-duality, and actually I think what Vedanta was talking about, which is where Advaita comes from, which means non-duality, is something much larger that is more than the sum of the parts of absolute and relative put together. That's full non-dual realization.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think escapism is the way. I think being fully present and dealing with the issues is the crux of the challenge for today. And actually getting down into the dirty or into the earth and mastering life in this dimension. And, you know, God put us here to experience this dimension and to actually engage and master ourselves and fulfill in physicality our mission, our dharma, as you said earlier, is really key. You know, one thing that I was in a spiritual community for over 20 years, and I think you mentioned during the break to me privately that you were in a community. Where do you see the spiritual communities going? Because some people don't want to surrender to working with others. They'd rather just be on their own, and I feel there's not as much power of opportunity there to make a change in the world or influence civilization. What is your take on community and how do you feel about it?
I think that people have to really make their own choices, and I respect that. I think some people are drawn to be in communities, and I think there are some people who've been in communities for a long, long time who would probably be better off getting out of them. You know, it's like once you're in, you know, once the chick hatches, it's time to get out of the incubator. Otherwise, you're just making trouble for the other eggs. So, you know, I think there's a time, there's a season for everything, you know, turn, 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 as the song says. And so I wouldn't try to prescribe any kind of universal rule as to whether people should be in or out of communities. If they feel it works for them and they're drawn to it, great. But if they feel like there's something wrong here, or it's not right for me, maybe it's right for these other people, but maybe it's time for me to leave, that's also great. And they should follow that calling.
Well, I agree with you actually 100%. I think that there's kind of a virtual community that's being established as in this Antahkarana or mandala around the world of people who are connected with the reality, who no matter what their spiritual path specifically, energetically, we're working toward the same common divine goal. And I think that's kind of the new community of oneness is kind of our essence pooling with others of like mind, like heart. And that to me is amazing. Well, we're coming up on our third and last break here. I'm speaking with Rick Archer, the guy who is at the gas pump with Buddha. And he's a great interviewer of conscious people and people who are awakening or have had mystical experiences. We're going to take a break here and be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll conclude a little bit later for today.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Join the Heart Center's sacred pilgrimage to Montreal, Quebec City, Ottawa, and Toronto this fall. Feel the rush of Niagara Falls. Saint Germain will lead us, and along the way, he'll lead new meditations on mindfulness, healing our past, and accelerated alchemies with violet fire. Meet old and new friends. Let cosmic beings safeguard and infuse Canada's lands and people with new light through. Registration closes on this very affordable pilgrimage June 10th. Details at davidclewisevent.org.
Are you ready for all the abundance you can imagine? Lynn Brown's Abundance Through Energy workshop on August 8th will bridge the perceived gap between the material world of money and the world of energy. You will experience live readings about abundance, get to play with and see energy for yourself, and enjoy sample healing from local wellness professionals. You will literally walk away with tools you can use in both the energetic and material world when it comes to money. Register now at ruintuit.com or call 844-BINTOIT.
The Heart Center invites you to join the conversation with Ascended Masters Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, El Morya, and Afra. One Wednesday each month, enjoy their soul-nourishing messages. Ask them your questions and share what is on your heart. The Masters Speak series happens all through 2014. Morya shares on Wednesday, May 21st, and Mother Mary, June 11th at 7 p.m. Mountain. Details at davidclewisclass.org.
Insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Thank you. We're back. I'm David Christopher Lewis interviewing Rick Archer, Buddha at the Gas Pump. And I'd like to ask Rick in this last segment here today, we talked about non-duality. We talked about living in the now. We've both meditated. We've been in spiritual communities. We've done a lot to try to bring teachings, consciousness, understanding to people. What can you share with our listening audience today that you feel will help them on their path, their spiritual path, their practical spiritual path? right now today?
Well, one thing I've tried to do with Buddha at the Gas Pump is provide a kind of a spiritual smorgasbord, you know, where people can be exposed to a wide range of teachers and teachings and can really get go into some depth with this particular teacher or that and decide whether they resonate with this or that person. And, you know, I get a lot of feedback from people saying, I found so-and-so and he's my teacher. You know, I'm so grateful that I never would have known about him otherwise. So that's very gratifying, you know, to provide that for people. I don't think that one size fits all. You talked about the divine guiding us on the planet a little bit earlier. I think that, you know, there's a variety of spiritual paths and teachers for a reason that, you know, people have their differences and they're going to resonate with different things. So I'd say that, you know, if one has the sincere intention, you know, seek and ye shall find, you begin seeking, you begin investigating, you check things out, see what seems to resonate for you. You try something. If it works, you stick with it. If it doesn't work, you try something else. I'm not suggesting people be dilettantes, you know, superficial dabblers. But if there really is a sincere intention or interest, then your search will bear fruit. It's like there is a sort of reciprocity where if you do seek, you will find that your seeking is acknowledged, it's recognized, it's rewarded. And so I'd say just, you know, as many spiritual teachers say, take one step towards me and I'll take 1,000 steps towards you. I think the divine will do that if you just have the intention. You won't be disappointed. So I don't know if I answered your full question, but that's what came to mind.
Yeah. Excellent. You know, mm-hmm. We talked about the youth earlier, and this current generation, I think, is very unique. They have a lot of focus on electronics, and you know, there's the social media. Do you think that some of the social media may be actually working against the very personal connections between individuals that is essential because they're sitting there on Facebook or YouTube or texting all the time rather than communicating face to face? Or do you think this is part of the shift, and where it will lead, we have yet to discover? You know, what do you think is happening with our youth right now, just from your own observations?
I think that some of them are really brilliant and, you know, some of them are destroying themselves like pretty much has always happened. As far as technology is concerned, I mean, you see cartoons of the family sitting around the dinner table and everybody's texting, you know, instead of looking at each other or talking. So there's that downside to technology. But as we said earlier, it also has provided a marvelous tool for, you know, communication of great things that was never possible before. So it's sort of I'd say the internet and all these technologies are almost like a neutral tool, like fire, you know, which can be extremely helpful or extremely destructive, depending on how it's used. But I wouldn't worry about it. It is what it is. And I hope that even newer and greater technologies will come along, which, again, some will be misused, but it will also provide great benefits.
Great. I agree with you. I think that there's so many very interesting and advanced inventions and discoveries that if they can just get them into the public domain rather than having some of these, especially the energy ones, you know, suppressed mm-hmm. or whatever, that we could really see a huge shift in humanity and civilization.
Yeah.
Now, what, for our listening audience today, what do you feel is your primary message? What would you like to leave with everybody today?
Just what comes to mind is I was watching a TV show last night and there were these people working in an office, and I kind of reflected on it as I saw it that how bleak life must seem to some people. You know, it's just like, is this all there is to the circus? You know, there's a song by that name. Is this all there is to life? And I think a good message might be that what most people perceive as life is just the outermost crust of it. It's the surface value of it. And, you know, like an orange, which is bitter if you just go for the outermost thing, the rind, there's a juicy sweetness within. There's a there's a rich depth and fulfillment possible if one can go beneath that outermost crust and discover experientially, not just in terms of belief or intellectualization, but experientially, the deeper value that life has. And I mean, we're actually, you know, swimming in a sea of bliss. And if we're not experiencing that bliss, then we're like fish that are thirsty in an ocean, which doesn't make sense. The fish has no right to be thirsty. It's an ocean. But that's how most people live. So it's really necessary to connect with that deeper value. And the wonders that one can discover if one does that are limitless. It's really just a matter of having that intention and going for it in whatever way one is called.
Well, thanks, Rick. I really appreciate you being with us today. I've been interviewing Rick Archer, Buddha at the Gas Pump. Check it out. Listen to some of his interviews that he's got on podcast also. So if you'd like to contact me or the Heart Center and Heart Center Talk Radio, we have our website at heartcentertalkradio.org. All the information is there. You can sign up for our monthly Heart Center newsletter, receive a free ebook, and this is a really interesting book on what we call the violet laser light, which is an accelerated energy that transmutes karma when used properly, of course, and visualized more instantaneously than just in the traditional methodologies of service and righting wrongs with individuals.
It's kind David, of was that heartcentertalkradio.org, did you say?
Yeah, heartcentertalkradio.org.
Org. I just went to that, and I'm seeing server not found, so you might want to check on that.
Oh, no, it works. I've checked heartcentertalkradio.org. I don't know if
I got that org. I don't know.
Okay.
Check it out.
Well, anyway, and we have upcoming events, classes, and recent messages from the Ascended Masters that I've been privileged to receive. And next Wednesday, I'll be interviewing very interesting person, Diana Leaf Christian, who's traveled the world to share her knowledge on spiritual communities, intentional communities, and eco-villages. And I met her in Asheville, North Carolina at the airport. She's an amazing person, has written some great books, and I look forward to interviewing her. And also, we have coming up very soon on June 17th, a class that I'll be teaching with my wife. It's called In the Garden with Anastasia 2 at our home, a 5.8-acre property in Paradise Valley, just outside of Livingston, Montana. And we have a summer solstice conference in Livingston, Montana, the place that Edgar Cayce predicted would become the breadbasket to the world. So that is June 18th through 22nd. And I look forward to being with you again next week. I'd like to thank Lauren, our AV technician, and Dr. Pat, and Transformation Talk Radio. You've listened to Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Christopher Lewis. We'll sign off now. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis. Tune into this hit show every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as David shares received messages from the angels, masters, and divine beings and touches on progressive revelations for today on diverse topics including divine science, advanced alchemy, cosmic solar awareness, the new blue wave, abundance and healing. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. For more information and to contact David, visit heartcentertalkradio.org or call 360-894-4410. See you next week.
Is physical or emotional pain controlling your life? Is happiness just beyond your grasp? Tune in to Perspective Reboot with Christy Boris, gifted spiritual and intuitive energy healer, Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christy will be sharing wisdom, healing, and empowerment to help you realize your true potential. During her show, she'll be shining a whole new light on reality and assisting callers at 1-800-930-2819. Listen at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub.
Anxiety can attack or creep up on us at the most inopportune moments, which makes us feel powerless and out of control. However, anxiety is a basic feeling that is created by our mind. Understanding some do's and don'ts about anxiety is a first step to demystify this emotion and regain control. The more we know about a challenge, the more we can find ways to overcome it.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's G-A-L-E-O-S cafe.com. Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's G-A-L-E-O-S cafe.com